today on The Word of Truth Revealed.
And if you can pass the test and say, God, there's no one greater, nobody greater, no one greater than you, then you pass the test of faith. Glory to God. And God waited until Abraham was 100 years old and his wife elderly herself before she was able to conceive. It's not natural to have babies when you're over 70 years old. He's trying to show you something. Is there anything too hard? Oh my God. Is there anything too hard for God?
Celebrating 32 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, Accessing the Blessings of Structure. Today, Bishop will be teaching from Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 through 10.
Galatians chapter 3, verse 6 through 10. I read it in your hearing. The Bible says, consider Abraham. He believed God. Man, that can preach. And it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. Notice, not just children of God, but children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. If you want to live by the law, you're going to die by it. But if you read Leviticus, you'll understand that we all need a Savior. Galatians chapter 3, verse 14, NIV. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit. I want to share with you from this subject, accessing the blessings of structure. Really, it's the blessings of Abraham, but I want to show you structure in this message, accessing the blessings of structure. Father, I give you praise and thanks for an earthly father that was raised up before Moses, a father of faith, foretelling of the goodness that will come through the gospel through Abraham. We thank you, Lord, that the father of faith shows us and points us that through him and through his seed, every man would be blessed. Not only the nation of Israel, but all Gentiles would be blessed through Abraham. And Father, help me to articulate the structure in the scripture and help me to crush religion and tradition and irrelevance and Father, routines, and help us to ignite and structure our lives through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, and help us to move forward in that structure as you bring order to our existence, even by our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Faith is structure. I want to encourage you in the name of the Lord. Galatians is one of my favorite books. It is the epistle Paul wrote to the church at Galatia. It is good for you that are Bible students to read it in various versions. King James, read it that way. New King James. I want you to read it in the NIV, then the New Living Translation, and I would like for you to read it in the Amplified. It will amplify certain key things that will help you to grow in God. Many of us were raised in churches that are very traditional, very hard speaking about sin and issues, which is necessary. We should know about sin and we should know what the Bible is saying about it. But you also need to know about sanctification and righteousness, that it doesn't come through you or because you did or didn't do, which is critical, because you build character when you don't do what you want to do. You don't build character when you yield, right? Character is built when you resist, right? Anytime you allow the fruit of the Spirit to work through you and you resist you, you're growing in stature. You're growing up in God. We're not minimizing that. But the Christian church has got it messed up. Many of us want to follow Moses. But really, the father of faith that you need to follow in the Old Testament is Abraham. The scripture is clear here in Galatians chapter 3 that he testifies through Abraham, prophesies through him, that there is a gospel that's not just to one nation, but it's to all Gentiles. And it's through faith in the Lord Jesus, not faith in the law of Moses, which was primarily written to the nation of Israel. You have a lot of people that misinterpret the scripture in their expression. And so they're trying to bring the Christian church underneath the laws, the Levitical laws of Israel. Actually, to be honest with you, if I had a choice, I would not want to be a Jew. Not in the Old Testament. I would not, certainly would not want to be one called to serve in the tabernacle. Because if you read it now, you're going to see it is gruesome. And to be honest with you, if you ever desire to work in ministry, you need to understand it is not glamorous. I know you are. I want to work in ministry. Man, you deal with the most unusual attitudes ever. People be smiling today and curse you tomorrow. I mean, curse you. They'll be praising today, go through a trial and throw everything out that you've been teaching for 4 years in that moment. I don't care about nothing because something happened along the way that you didn't like. When we should be able to walk and live by faith and not walk and live by our sight or our emotions or our imagination or our own will or our own memories. Supposed to be able to overcome these things. Amen. But we are human. We're flesh and blood, men and women, born to make mistakes. But the point is that if you're ever going to do anything for God, you need to know where your track is. Years before Moses gave them the law off of Sinai, he raised up a man by the name of Abraham, who is, according to Galatians chapter 3, the father of us all. So consider him. He believed God. Notice, no works at all. He just believed God, and God said, because you have faith in me, I'm going to credit to you. I'm going to give you a credit called righteousness. I want you to get this, because we don't understand it. You're trying to work your way into righteousness, and you should have a work for your salvation. But he imputes, get that word, he imputes or imparts a level of righteousness to you just because you believe. That's why the enemy attacks your faith, don't want you to, I don't like organized church. Get over that. You need to be under the word, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And if you don't hear the word, you won't build faith. Your portfolio, your job, what you've been able to accomplish, how much money or you have in the bank or don't, does not make you righteous or good. What makes you righteous is that you put your confidence in a Savior who rescued you from yourself, and he imputed righteousness that came from him to you, so you can give him glory and praise on a Sunday morning and wave your hands in the air like you don't care. And give God the glory for what he did, not what you did or didn't do. Can somebody say amen? Amen. He imputes righteousness to you. Verse 7, understand then. You can't understand anything that you won't stand underneath. So people that don't understand the way we roll out ministry, the way we implement ministry, a lot of times are not underneath the order of God. There are areas of your life that need to come into sync with God's order, because you can understand things better when you submit your will to God. Can someone say amen? Amen. Understanding that those that flown with me, understanding that those who believe
are children not just of God, but your children of Abraham. I like verse 8, the scripture foreseeing, the scripture prophetically foreseeing that God would justify Gentiles, not Jews, but Gentiles who never got the Ten Commandments, the ones that never met him on Sinai, the ones born in the wilderness, the ones that had no God, the one that had no promise. He foresaw you in the scripture. Glory to God. He foresaw me, a Merton Lamar Clark. And you can call your name out. He foresaw you and your family tree with all of the problems in it, with all of the issues with grandfather, great-grandmother, great-great-great-grand-auntie, all of your family issues. He foresaw it and prophesied through the scripture that a better day was coming. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles not by works or even by the law, but by faith, and announce the gospel or the good news in advance to Abraham. Here's the announcement. All nations, not just one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. That's the nation of Israel and the United States. But even those nations that don't have our prosperity, the nations that are not mentioned, the ones that are not great, all nations will be blessed through you. One person. Abraham foresaw that something was coming through his seed. Good God from Zion. Something was going to come through his loins that was greater than him. So he gave him a son named Isaac. And then he told him to take Isaac to Moriah and offer him up. Hebrew writer says that he believed, if God told me to offer him up, to slay him and gut him and then burn him on an altar, that he obviously would have to resurrect him, because he promised me a son. And if you ask me for my promise and then take him from me, you obviously must be able to resurrect him. That's how far his faith went. My God. And in a similitude, he did resurrect Isaac. For when he laid him on the altar and he was about to gut him, the Bible says God called out and said, Abraham, Abraham, don't touch the boy. I was just trying to test you to see if there's anything you will withhold from me. And you passed the test. Good God. And sometimes we put our stuff ahead of God. It's more important than what God is saying. What we feel is more important and more beautiful than what God is saying. Our children mean more to us. Our pedigree means more to us. Our houses and land means more to us. All God wants to know, he's not trying to kill you or your children, but is there anything you will withhold from me? What do you have out there that's greater than I am? And if you can pass the test and say, God, there's no one greater, nobody greater, no one greater than you, then you pass the test of faith. Glory to God. And God looked at that kid, Isaac. How did he get here? He's a type of Christ. He's a type of Christ. God waited until Abraham was 100 years old and his wife elderly herself before she was able to conceive. It's not natural to have babies when you're over 70 years old. He's trying to show you something. Is there anything too hard? Oh my God. Is there anything too hard for God? It's hard for you. You won't know how to do it, but if you put your confidence in him, he'll show you how he can get it done. Can somebody give him praise? And he chose a man and pushed him south out of present day Iraq and told him to go south, and I'm going to do something in your life that's greater. And he believed God, picked up his family and started moving south, and God created a nation for him. Glory to God. And sometimes God wants us involved in the process. Glory to you. I don't know why God did that for me. I don't know why he took me down this road. What he's trying to do is shape you for nations. He's trying to shape you for his purpose. He's trying to get you out of what you used to and get into a place that's unfamiliar to you. It's taking you through trials and traumas through your life. Not for you to become an individual at the end of it and find yourself or your light or your strength, but to find strength in him. So you can testify of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for you. And when you find out, your soul will cry out, hallelujah. I thank God for saving me. He pulls himself. And I got ahead of myself in this story. And he's telling Abraham in his philosophical mind, his omniscience, how wonderful he wants, the wonderful things he wants to do for him and to him and through him. But Abraham doesn't get it. Just like many of us don't get theology. We don't get what God is trying to do. We don't get what he's trying to say. I can preach all day and you'll never get it. You'll sit there saying, okay, it's a proverbial nine today. I'm going through trials. Preach on what I want you to preach on. Confirm what I want in my life. You need to preach my message. You need to talk about my glory. You need to talk about my greatness. That's what you're expecting. But God don't move the way we want him to move. This is how he gets our attention. Instead of giving you all of the theology and all of the deep words like propitiation and atonement, you don't understand all of that. What he'll do is turn to you and say, take now your son. In other words, I'm going to move past all the theology. I'm coming straight to your house. I'm going to deal with something that's dealing with your mind that has your pedigree. I'm going to pull you into the moment, and then I'll show you from your own family how much I love you. Glory to God. And once your family's involved, once one is laying on the altar, once one is laying before everybody, once one is about to be gutted, then you see the price that it takes, hallelujah, to save humanity. When you have to give up yours. When you can't fix this issue. And you got to depend on God and have faith in the Lord. When he says, take now your son, you'll begin to understand just how much it cost to pay for our sins. Glory to God. And as Abraham took his son, he began to see. Abraham understands that God is different from man. Glory to God. He took his own son and sacrificed him for the nations of the world. That structure, that faith in Christ brings salvation, and faith in Christ brings salvation to those who have not really walked with Christ. It's by faith that he imputes it. And then after you get this imputed righteousness, you're supposed to walk close with him. That's how it's supposed to happen. Not you saying, I'm good, or I stopped doing that. I don't smoke ganja no more, so I'm okay. It doesn't matter what you stop or what you do, what you're continuing to do now. As long as you put faith in Jesus, he wipes away your sins. But if you never put faith, you can free yourself from all sins, and he'll still say, I don't know you. Because the only thing that he recognizes is the blood of Jesus. And when you start understanding that, you will appreciate the blood and not your own righteousness. Thank you, Lord. I'm trying to show you some alignment here and some structure for your life. First, put confidence in Jesus. Verse 9, so those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. So by faith, there's a blessing coming to you. Amen. I can decree it and declare it. You don't believe it, but it's coming to you. If you put faith in Jesus, the blessing that came on Abraham is coming on you. Let me tell you what he told Abraham. I'm going to make you great and your name great. Your children are going to be great. You're going to have some money. I am your shield and your very present help. I'm going to do all of these things for you. Let me tell you, you can already decree that this will be the year that I make more, that I do more, that I go further, because God put the blessings of Abraham on my life. Those that bless you, I will bless. And those that curse you, I'm going to curse them. You step right into the blessing of Abraham just by having faith in Jesus. Verse 10, all who rely on observing the law are under a curse. So if you forget this system of faith in Jesus and you want to go back into what you were taught, the law of first truth, and you got to do it this way, you got to tarry and tarry until you get it, and that's what you believe, okay, go for it. But you also have to abide by law. Notice what the scripture says, all who rely on observing the law are under a curse. That's what the scriptures say. So if you only see wearing long dresses and no earrings is how you become righteous, you can't just put off the earrings. You got to come under the whole scope of the law. And there's a curse. It was never given for you to become righteous. It was given to the nation of Israel to show them how holy God was and how sinful they were. I'm holy, God says, and you're sinful. But I will meet you, your sinful self, at the altar. That's as close as you can get to me, and it's very bloody. They had to constantly kill animals and spill the blood on the altar every day and smoke and roast the flesh. So going to the sanctuary or to the tabernacle was full of smoke constantly. But God sent his son Jesus to die once, and none of us have to bring that kind of sacrifice because he took care of it. Is there a sacrifice we should bring? Yes. The Bible says we need to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. Don't think like the world think. It's not about reels. It's about the real thing, baby. And the real thing is the word of God. It's not about Facebook. It's not about likes. It's not about Instagram. We do it and use it, but we use it as a highway to reach the world. But it is not your life. Your life is in faith in Jesus. Let me calm down. Oh, my God. Don't get it twisted. The world can like you and God can say, I don't even understand what you're talking about. Don't put your faith in likes. Put your faith in Jesus. People will give you a thumbs up today and curse you tomorrow. People can go to Dawart loose and leading ladies, and all of a sudden you hear one thing and you coming against the man of God like you never knew nothing. Look at it. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people, and all we want to do is focus on the negative. Glory to God. Don't put your faith in the world and what people say and lies and thousands of people buying books. They'll turn on you in a heartbeat. Put your faith in Jesus. So God, touch your manservant. Cover him in your blood. We release the blood of Jesus over your manservant in the name of Jesus. We will not criticize. We will cover in Jesus' name. Clap your hands for TD. And his covering. Thank you, Jesus. Don't be like the heathens. Oh, my God. My God. Don't put your faith in America. Please put your faith in Jesus. Don't put your faith in movies and prosperity. It'll turn on you in a moment. Put your faith in Jesus. Glory to God. Life is full of challenges. Say it with me. Life is full of challenges. Like changing jobs. But you don't have to repeat that one. You guys are with me this morning. But somebody's going to change jobs. So life is full of challenges. One will end, but another will. It's not the end of the road. Some companies are going to downsize and they got billions, but they're going to cut. Don't be moved by that. If you are, God has something greater. Outsourcing is another challenge. Instead of picking you, they outsource it. So in other words, if you put your life or you're a creative and someone says, well, I don't want to deal with your creativity, I'm going to outsource it. You got to be able to handle that. If I do it in the ministry. In other words, I've been using your services and I decide to do something different. It shouldn't kick you off. It's just a challenge. God, I should be able to make a decision to outsource. Even if I wanted to hire, I should be able to hire from the populace and not just internally. Right? But you'll put me in a box, right? Put me in a box and say, he can't do that. Who does he think he is? It's my right. It's within the scope and the wheelhouse of my authority.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For an MP3 of today's message, accessing the blessings of structure, log on to our website at www.truthrevealed.org and download reference number 2401-1408. That's reference number 2401-1408.
The more time you invest in a marriage, the more valuable it becomes. Join the next Marriage Enrichment Heart Intertwined Session on Saturday, January 20th at 7 p.m. in the Sanctuary to discover ways to invest in your relationship to become more connected. Come early for refreshments and fellowship. Child care is provided.
We encourage all high school seniors who plan to further their education at a college or university to apply for the Tuskegee Airmen Scholarship. The deadline for submission is Monday, January 22nd. Applications are available at the Communication and Promotion Counter. Please contact Elder Toby Hubbard at 321-305-9831 with any questions.
Awaken Women, we are back and more resilient than ever. Mark your calendar for the first Awaken Women's Fellowship on the new year on Saturday, January 27th at 9 a.m.
Set aside some time this week for intercession and tag up to God in prayer. Join Relentless on Friday, January 19th at 7 p.m. in the sanctuary as we seek deep intimacy and quiet communion with God.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.
Oh,